This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 11th, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-16 presented by the American Kennel Club. And we have Joshua Bloom and Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's Office. Mr. Bloom, I believe this is your first appearance before us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The American Kennel Club requested the advisory opinion before you in agenda document number 07-66. AKC plans to form a separate segregated fund and asks whether such an SSF may solicit contributions from individual members of two kinds of kennel club associated with AKC, to which the draft refers as voting clubs and accredited clubs. To this end, AKC asks first whether AKC and the clubs are membership organizations, and second, if so, whether AKC and the clubs are affiliated. The draft first concludes that AKC and the clubs are membership organizations based on the criteria set forth in section 114.1E. Next, after concluding that AKC and the clubs are not per se affiliated, the draft draws on the affiliation factors listed in section 100.5G4 to analyze the overall relationship between AKC and the clubs. Based on all of the facts and circumstances, the draft concludes that AKC and the clubs are affiliated. Thus, since membership organizations or their SSFs may solicit contributions from individual members of their affiliates, the draft concludes that any SSF formed by AKC may solicit contributions from the individual members of the clubs. We received no comments on the draft, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Very good. Well done. Any questions? Comments? Motions? Commissioner Weintraub.
On behalf of dog lovers everywhere, Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the draft.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub has moved approval of agenda document 07-66. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record, Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Congratulations, Mr. Bloom. It's always nice to win first time out. The next item on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-17 involving the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. We have Eric Hallstrom and Amy Rothstein from the General Counsel's Office to present. Mr. Hallstrom, I believe also your first time before us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The draft of Advisory Opinion 2007-17, which is in Agenda Document 0767, responds to a request by the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. And the request asks whether the DSCC is required to obtain signatures of individuals who make contributions in the form of checks generated by online banking services and signed by bank officials. The draft concludes that 11 CFR 104.8C does not require additional clarification as to whom the contribution is from, as long as the check was executed by a bank official pursuant to the instructions of the individual account holder and the check clearly indicates the personal account on which the check is drawn. In addition, the draft discusses the procedures for attributing such contributions when they are made from joint accounts, and it is unclear which account holder is making the contribution. The Commission received no comment, and I'd be happy to address any questions you might have.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just want to compliment OGC on putting this draft together, and just know that this is another circumstance where someone came up with an innovative way of doing a financial transaction that frankly didn't exist at the time our regulations were done. And one of the issues we've had here fairly often in the time I've been here at least is people coming up with new ways of doing things and us having to figure out how they fit into our regulations. And I think OGC did a good job of doing that here, and I just want to compliment them on it.
Very good. Other comments? Vice Chairman Mason.
As Yogi Berra says in the Aflac commercial, it's just as good as money.
using the prerogative of the chair, that will be the last Yogi Berra quote of the day. Don't want that to begin any sort of a trend. Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be very sober now.
Thank goodness.
I move approval of the draft.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub has moved approval of draft advisory opinion 2007-17 as presented in agenda document 07-67. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you record, Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Mr. Halston, congratulations. The next item on our agenda involves draft advisory opinion 2007-18 involving Wrangell for Congress and the National Leadership PAC. We have presenting Albert Kiss and Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's Office. Counsel, please proceed at your
morning, minute. Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning. Wrangell for Congress is the principal campaign committee of Congressman Charles Wrangell of New York. The National Leadership PAC is Congressman Wrangell's Leadership PAC. The requesters ask whether Wrangell for Congress and the National Leadership PAC may pay for an official portrait to be donated to the House of Representatives. The cost of the portrait is estimated to be $64,500, and the requesters represent that this cost is commensurate with the usual and normal charge for similar works by artists of similar renown. The draft before you, agenda document 0765, concludes that Wrangell for Congress and the National Leadership PAC may pay for this portrait. The draft concludes that Wrangell for Congress may pay for the may use campaign funds to pay for the official portrait because the portrait will be donated to the House of Representatives, a Section 170C organization, and the payment will not financially benefit Representative Wrangell or any member of his family. The draft concludes that the National Leadership PAC may pay for the portrait because in the situation described, such a payment will not be for the purpose of influencing any election and will thus not be an in-kind contribution to Wrangell for Congress. We didn't receive any comments on this draft, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments, questions, motions? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we adopt agenda document 0765, which is the draft AO that Mr. Kiss just discussed.
Very good. Commissioner Von Spakovsky is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record, Commissioner Von Spakovsky's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, would anyone like to inform Mr. Elias that he's too late? We have already approved his request.
I think we have a policy of not allowing comments during these proceedings. Mr. Elias will have to submit some sort of a written document if he would like to comment on our last agenda item. The next item on our agenda involves draft advisory opinion 2007-21 involving United States Representative Russ Holt. And we have a late submitted document, I believe, there. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move suspension of our rules concerning the timely submission of documents so that we may consider agenda document 0768, memorandum to the commission from the general counsel setting forth the draft advisory opinion.
Very good. The Vice Chairman has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. We have Essa Sfera and Ron Catwan from the General Counsel's Office. Counsel, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. The draft advisory opinion before you responds to requests from Representative Holt regarding whether he may serve as the honorary chairman of the general election campaigns of state candidates participating in the New Jersey public funding pilot program. As honorary chairman, Representative Holt would lend his name and political support to these publicly funded state candidates. Specifically, he would allow his name to appear on the state candidates' campaign's respective letterhead and in other communications to the public that express his support for their candidacies. The draft concludes that Representative Holt may serve as the honorary chairman of the state candidates' general election campaign because the state candidate's general, because his proposed activities as honorary chairman would not violate the act's provisions and restrictions, pardon me, would not violate the Act's provisions that restrict federal candidates and officeholders' activities in connection with non-federal elections. I'd be happy to address any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to note it is sometimes hard for the General Counsel's office to acknowledge that we're not going to regulate. I'm sympathetic. Second, I do want to commend the counsel's office for their swift work on this and go ahead and pat ourselves on the back a little bit. And it really obviously wasn't our work principally, but the counsel's office. This request came in September 17th. It's now October 11th. We have a 60-day statutory clock in which to respond to requests of this sort. And obviously, if we had waited another 5 weeks, it would have been of very limited value to Mr. Holt, the candidate he wants, candidates he wants to support. And so this was another in a series of advisory opinions we've tried to accelerate, a procedure I believe that was initiated largely at the behest of the chairman. I think this is another case where it's really not a question of serving ourselves well, but of trying to be responsive to the regulated community and get them answers in rapid time frames. I'm delighted that we could do it.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree. I'm also glad that we were able to answer this quickly, and I appreciate, in part, I think that's due to the question, which made it easy for us, because there are other permutations of these kind of fact patterns that would present more complicated issues for us, and ones in which the Commission might have a harder time coming to a consensus. But here, since the requester was very clear that he wasn't going to be involved in any fundraising, and this letterhead in which he, you know, if they were going to put up letterhead that said he was the honorary chair, it wasn't going to be used for any fundraising purposes. And actually, even if it had been backed up in time, the fundraising that was done even preceding that was all lower than the limits under the federal law. That just made it a really easy question. So I want to thank the requester for asking a nice, easy question that we were then able to answer in a pretty quick turnaround.
Thank you. Yes, and as I think our policy set forth at the beginning, there were sort of two central factors. One was the time-sensitive nature of the request, and secondarily, it was the type of question which we thought we could answer accurately and quickly within those time frames. And so I think this is the sixth of these that we've done on an expedited basis since we adopted this policy. So, very good. Other comments, questions? Commissioner Weintraub.
I'll make a motion.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the draft as set forth in Agenda Document 07-68.
Very good. Commissioner Weintraub is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record, Commissioner Weintraub's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Counsel, thank you. The last advisory opinion on our agenda today involves draft advisory opinion 2007-15, of which we have alternative drafts. It is a request by GMAC LLC, and we have Richard Yule and Amy Rothstein from the General Counsel's Office. Counsel, please proceed at your convenience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two alternative drafts before you today in Agenda Document 07-62. The Commission considered these drafts during its open session on September 24th, but did not vote on either draft. Draft A concludes that GMAC may not pay the establishment or administrative costs for the separate segregated fund of GMAC Insurance Holdings Incorporated, and that the SSF may not be named GMAC LLC PAC with an abbreviation of GMAC PAC. Draft B reaches the opposite conclusion on both questions, concluding that GMAC may pay the cost of establishing and administering the SSF, and the SSF may use the requested names. The Commission has received two comments on the drafts, both from the requester. In addition, the requester has agreed to an extension of time for this request through tomorrow. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Questions, comments, thoughts? Well, I guess I can begin. This is a matter that was held over from our last open session, and I want to begin by expressing my appreciation to counsel for the requesters in granting us additional time to wrestle with this problem, because at the time it was before us, I had not read through the Spirit AO from 2004 and had a somewhat different analysis as to how the Commission would handle the solicitations within complex corporate and partnership structures than it had decided. So it was helpful for me to have the time to go back and think through that, because we have a situation here that involves a collection of business entities which has at its highest level, I guess, and maybe not the highest level, and if you look through the ownership structure, but where GMAC, a partnership, controls, among other subsidiaries, GMAC Insurance Company. And we have a longstanding rule that partnerships are not allowed to have PACs, because by law partnerships are allowed to make contributions themselves directly. And there is an exception to that, to the degree that partnerships are completely controlled by corporations, and that therefore is no individual to whom the partners. I'm sorry?
Just saying, Gesundheit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was terribly afraid I'd said something wrong about the law, and you were trying to save me from being on the record having a misstated the law, which I sometimes do as I ramble on. And I appreciate it when people do stop me. But the partnership rules have an exception to the degree that all of the owners of the partnership, all of the partners are corporations, and as a consequence, there is no individual to whom the partner's contributions can be designated, as our rules require. And we have somewhat of a difficult situation here, because it's not entirely clear whether GMAC fits within that exception. We do not have a record upon which to conclude they do. As an alternative, we have been offered by the requesters a different legal construct of how to approach the problem built upon the affiliation relationships. And while I have wrestled with this over the last couple of weeks, I'm not comfortable at this point going forward with that analysis in lieu of how we'd approach these in the past, because I'm not while I understand how it would work in this particular circumstance, I am not entirely comfortable with that. I either understand, or to the degree that I understand, that I'm comfortable with the outcomes in other kinds of structures of corporations and partnerships. And we spent some time this week sort of working through different kinds of scenarios with the different combinations of structures, and I am not entirely sure that the purposes that underlie our rule are fully effectuated if we adopt the alternative. And so certainly this PAC can be funded by the insurance company to the degree that the GMAC partnership is entirely controlled by corporations. It could fund that as well, but I am not yet prepared to adopt the affiliation relationship as the test in these kinds of situations. The question as to naming, which is a subsidiary question and derives in part from the first one, somewhat less troubling in the sense that the consequence of our earlier AOs and our interpretation of the affiliation relationship does give the GMAC Insurance Company, were it to create an SSF and solicit contributions, the ability to solicit well beyond the restricted class of GMAC Insurance Company and to solicit among the partnerships and other affiliated entities of GMAC. The desire in our regulations to ensure that the name of the PAC accurately describes who it is representing isn't put at risk were the nickname GMAC PAC used, at least in the context of it being the nickname of this PAC. But I am not prepared to move to where the requester would like us to be on the affiliation rules. So that was my thinking, and hopefully we'll get the ball rolling. Any other thoughts or comments? Thank goodness. Vice Chairman, otherwise we're going to have to seek a motion on what I just said. That. Lord knows where that is.
We could do that. Mr. Chairman, thank you. I am sympathetic to the chairman's views on two points. One is the incomplete factual record that we have here, and obviously it would be probably be easier. Don't know what's behind the Cerberus organizational shell, but it would probably be easier to reach a conclusion if we had a more complete factual situation. I'm also sympathetic to the feeling on the part of some of my colleagues that we're dealing with new sorts of ownership structures that present themselves in an almost unlimited variety of permutations that were not envisioned, as Commissioner Von Spakovsky noted in an earlier matter when the Act was written, weren't envisioned when the regulations were written only a few years ago. And I do agree that we ought to tread with caution in rendering decisions about newly emerging ownership forms and laying down principles that might have unexpected implications or simply ones we haven't thought out carefully. And so while in this case I wasn't disturbed by the result of allowing the LLC to pay for the expenses, I can understand the reservations about that. I would note that we have a fairly odd circumstance, which is somewhat akin to where we've been on the trade associations, where at one time we insisted that only the trade association could pay expenses, and now we have agreed that, for instance, corporate members of trade associations can pay expenses for the trade association PAC, roughly on the theory that the corporations could pay money to the trade association. The trade association could then reimburse the corporation for their own solicitation costs of their own employees. And frankly, that's more or less the situation that we would end up with here, which is that if we don't approve this request, GMAC Insurance will have to it will still be permissible for GMAC LLC employees to do this work. It's simply that GMAC Insurance will have to pay them for doing that work. And of course, I don't know what tax or other regulatory barriers may be in the way, but certainly GMAC LLC has ways of transferring funds to GMAC Insurance. We're enforcing some lines here that I didn't think were particularly important. On the other hand, there are a lot of places in the statute where we simply have lines that are there because there are divisions between corporations and other forms of organization and so on. And if, in fact, we're in a situation, and I understand that we are, that effectively the burden on GMAC will be that they have to do some kind of accounting and that they have to pay for certain activities out of one pot rather than another pot within the corporate or the organizational family, I don't think that's an insuperable burden for them to have to bear.
Other thoughts, comments? Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Well, as you know, Mr. Chairman, I was prepared last time to vote for Alternative B, but I understand the concerns that have been raised, and my suggestion to my colleagues would be, since I think we have until tomorrow to give an answer to this,
The deadline is tomorrow,
Okay. Well, if the Vice Chairman is prepared to offer a motion, that's fine. Otherwise, I was going to suggest that we ask OGC to redo this on the items we've agreed on, which is I think we agreed on the name, we're agreed on the fact that based on prior AOs, GMAC Insurance would be able to solicit other affiliated companies, including other wholly owned subsidiaries and partnerships, but say that we were unable to reach an answer on the one remaining question of whether GMAC Limited can pay the expenses of the SSF. If we want to give the reason that, I'm not sure it's so much that we disagree on that as in we don't have enough information on the ultimate parental ownership of of it, we could do it along those lines.
Yeah, and I thought this might be a matter that we could send back to the General Counsel's office, because it did strike me that that as you look at the draft B, there is a sort of a structure of the answer is that, you know, that we don't entirely understand the corporate structure, and to the degree that it's wholly corporate owned, then they could pay for it out of GMAC, and to the degree that it's not, they could certainly pay for it out of the insurance company funds. And to the degree that was sort of the answer provided, that might, you know, leave, you know, enough room for us to think about this on another day, if that were the desire of some of the commissioners. Vice Chairman Mason?
What I was going to suggest, Mr. Chairman, is that we simply that we prove an answer that incorporates the name, the response to question two on the name from draft B. If I'm not mistaken, the first page and a half are identical in both drafts, and that we respond to question one by informing the requester that the commission could not come to a conclusion on the permissibility of GMAC LLC paying the expenses associated with administering the SSF of its corporate subsidiary. Because that in fact is the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Since we now understand, I think requester always understood that they would be able to have the insurance subsidiary pay for the PAC and solicit employees and other persons within the restricted classes of all the subsidiaries. I don't think that's really an issue, and so I think that simple answer, given the uncertainties here, would probably be sufficient. I think, given our divisions and given the various concerns at issue, the more we try to say about why not or so on, and if commissioners are moved to issue separate statements to expand on this, well, they certainly can do that. But mm-hmm. I think that is the bottom line.
Okay. I guess my one question I have to counsel is, my concern, I was trying to read it here as the Vice Chairman was talking, is that the analysis in B as to the name is built upon the answer in B in the first half, and therefore to the degree that the answer in the first half of B is different, then I'm not sure the analysis on the naming question fully flows therefrom. And I turned to our counsel to see whether, as a practical matter, simply adopting the answer in B to the naming question doesn't end up with text that is no longer relevant or applicable given our conclusion on the question of funding.
I think we could adapt the answer to the second question in B fairly easily, but I don't think we could lift it wholesale.
Yeah, that would be my preference if that was acceptable.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we instruct the Office of General Counsel to redraft the advisory opinion to state that we could not come to a conclusion as to question number one, to approve the use of the name GMAC LLC PAC, and to redraft the proposal as to that question in draft B as appropriate.
Very good. The Vice Chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Council, thank you very much. The last item on our agenda, I don't know whether we need to do anything formal or not. The deadline is tomorrow. I assume that if we needed an extension of a day or two, you would be authorized to seek that from Council. Good.